Welcome back, podcast fans. I'm your host, Annette Hines, and this is Parenting Impossible, the Special Needs Survival Podcast. So grateful that I'm here with Cheryl Farley, who has been very gracious in her very, very busy schedule to go ahead and do this interview with me today. She has been part of many of the things that we've been doing in the last couple of years. She's done some coaching with us. She was one of my beta testers. Thank you so much in our group coaching program. She's tested out one of my transition planning courses, and she has really been through it all with us. Thank you, Cheryl, for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So she is just a mom that I admire so much. She's done a lot, and we've been a teeny tiny part of it. I'm glad she's been able to use our tools, and I want to talk to her about that. But really, I admire so much in everything that she's been able to do, and that's why I wanted to talk to her today. She's been so creative in all the tools that she's brought to bear for her son. And really, I just want to ask some questions, and she's been so gracious to agree to come on this podcast to talk about where she gets her ideas for her son. So let's just back up a minute and talk a little bit about your family. Cheryl, can you just tell us a little bit about your son, Liam, and just about your family as a whole?
So I am the mom of two young adults now. We have an older daughter who is 23, finished the college life and now adulting. And then our son, Liam, who will actually be 22 tomorrow. Ooh. And yeah, the day has finally come. My husband and I, we've been married. We're going to have our 27th wedding anniversary coming up next month. And, I've worn a lot of different hats. I was predominantly a stay-at-home mom when the kids were younger. And then when they went back to school, I actually went back and got my master's of education in assistive technology. And for the past 14 years, I've been working as an assistive technology specialist in the public schools, various public school systems in Massachusetts. And that predominantly stemmed from Liam, right, who at the time had received his first AAC device, and everyone was afraid to touch it. So I said, you know, there has to be, if we have a need for assistive technology help, there has to be other people that need it too. So from necessity, I was very fortunate. I was able to go back to school part-time while I was working and made a career out of that. So that's just a little bit of, in a nutshell, about us. So, and Liam, he has been in school up until June of this year. And like I said, he's turning 22 tomorrow. So we are full swing into the adult services world now.
Wow. And he doesn't really fit into a specific box, right? Like so many of our kids.
Yes. You know, the first time, you know, he had one of his neuropsych evaluations, one of the practitioners said exactly that, you know, he just doesn't fit like a checkbox, which I think a lot of our kids don't fit in a checkbox anyway. And I think, you know, people try to fit them in, but we've always had to been very creative in his education and his activities. And, but I think it's been really good because it has helped, you know, the teachers and the professionals that he worked with and us too, think of things outside of the box in terms mm-hmm. of what can we do to help him? What are his strengths? What are his weaknesses? And like I said, we've been very fortunate that his educational team has been overall wonderful about working with us, thinking outside of the box, to create programming for him that has definitely, we believe, set him up for success now that we're transitioning into adulthood.
Right. Yeah. And you live in a smaller town.
We do. So, I mean, in his class last year, there were only five students in his transition program. So that did make it easier for, I think, his teachers and staff to really customize for him. Had he been in a bigger program, I'm sure it would have been a bit more challenging. But we were fortunate that we did have smaller sizes, and his teacher, over the many years she's been running this transition program, has really reached out to the businesses in our community and built strong relationships with them that allows our students to then go into the community for volunteering and vocational needs.
Along with that, though, you know, a small program can also have a downside because it's not like there's a job coaching program, you know, right along with it where you have all of these talented staff that come along too. So you have to be a little bit fluid with that as well, right?
Yes, you do. You definitely do. And you know, there were some job opportunities that he went to that were some of like the traditional ones, like this is where you go the first year, and he did not like them. You know, one of them was it was food prep, and he has a very sensitive sense of smell, and there were just certain food smells that he couldn't handle. But so then they were like, okay, well, let's think of something else that he can do then. Yeah, I think that then, you know, they had to then think outside the box in terms of what are some other things that don't require food preparation, you know, like the school cafeteria, you know, working in restaurants, you know, the senior center during food time, you know, those just didn't work for him. And, you know, and it's also finding the balance between, you know, having him try something that he might not be comfortable with, just, you know, because you do have to learn how to work through challenges, but then also knowing when to say, okay, this just isn't working for everybody here, and needing to take a step back and reevaluate. And I think that's important for any programs that you're in, that you have a team that's willing to push, but also then willing to stop and reevaluate and not make it a difficult situation also.
Were you able to talk with them about being person-centered? Did you feel like those person-centered conversations went well?
Absolutely, absolutely. So, over the years, I've attended the ARC of Massachusetts Transition Conference, and their you know, transition person-centered plan. You know, they've always presented about that, so we've personally used it. But again, I'm so fortunate that, you know, his team, especially once he went into his 18 to 22 program, you know, the very first thing, it's always been person-centered. You know, we shared with them, this is a person-centered plan that he's done with us, and a lot of the things did align with what he was saying at school. And you know, reassessing it every 6 months, we were lucky that from a timeline perspective, you know, we had September where they reviewed his person-centered plan, and his IEP was always in January, you know, late January. So it was a perfect time to just organically stop and reassess. Okay, here's what we've been doing the last couple of months. Let's reassess. So I feel like every 6 months has been a natural check-in with his person-centered plan. And things have changed over the years. You know, when he was 14 years old, his goal was he wanted to go to college. And then when he was a senior, he basically said, I'm done with academics. You know, it became very stressful for him. It was more important for him to go into a vocation. But had we only just looked at the person-centered plan that he did it when he was 14, we never would have known. So I think it's really important that, you know, I like the every 6 months. I think it's a good check-in, mid-year to see how you're doing, what's changed, what your likes and dislikes are, because we all change, we all grow, our interests always change. But I strongly believe that the person-centered plan needs to drive what then becomes part of the IEP and then the transition goals. And then even once you're moving on to the adult world, in terms of what you want that to look like for your adult child, in terms of what kind of programming they're going to do.
Totally makes sense. So what goals are you working on right now?
So right now we have his prime, I would say, like the primary threads for his person-centered plan going into his programming is vocational. Liam really finds purpose, you know, volunteering, giving back into the community. He has said eventually he would like to have a job, and he has some nice baseline skills, and we're still working on that. So vocational in the way of volunteering is one of his primary goals. And the second one is he has expressed that at some point he would like to live independently from his parents. What independently will look like for him is obviously different for, you know, him and everybody else. But looking at what are those ADLs that he will need, what are those life skills that he will need so that he can live as independently as possible, you know, knowing that there may be, you know, supports that are in there. So right now, those seem to be the two predominant. And then, you know, friendships, relationships, those have always been such a core to him that those are just a continuation of what we already have in place in terms of his involvement with his friends, with Special Olympics, with the local YMCA. He's very involved in those organizations, and it's wonderful that they continue past the age of 22. So, you know, relationships, moving towards independent living and vocational.
That's just awesome. Really, yeah. Just awesome. I'm so excited for both of you, for all of you, really. So on a selfish note, I want to say thank you so much for being involved in all the things that we are doing and for helping shape all of that, because it has been tremendous over the past year that, you know, to see all of the things that I've been working hard to accomplish and bring forward for people who have not been as fortunate as you have been in being able to, you know, develop all of these things for Liam and in your family. I want to make sure that people have as much information as you do. And I would love to just know from your perspective to share with other people, what did you find helpful to you as you were going through our courses and our coaching program? Because there are two different things, you know. So we had group coaching, we had the, you know, on your own learning course, and then also an individual coaching package as well. And I would just love to share with people, you know, your perspective on each of those things.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. Have you been searching for a law firm that understands the unique challenges of your family? We can help. My name is Annette Hines, and I'm a mom and an attorney. And I'm also an advocate. And I started Special Needs Law Group because when my family was young, I struggled to find all the services and support that my family needed. We can help here at Special Needs Law Group with special needs trusts, guardianships, and maybe you aren't even sure what you need yet, and we can help with that too. Book a free call today. You can either use our link in the show notes, or you can go to www.specialneeds-law.com. See you soon.
So I would say if I had to pick just one area that really, really, really helped me, it was the SSI stuff. For some reason that scared me. I don't know why, just mm-hmm. the whole application of it. So, you know, you being able to walk us through just overall, what is this organization? What is this process? You know, I was so nervous about it that we didn't apply when he was 18. So, you know, we ended up waiting until, you know, after I did your course, and I was like, okay, I feel confident now to do this. But I liked the structure of having those group conversations where you were live talking to us about the process and able to answer some of our questions, and then being able to go back after and being able to read the workbook. And then on the online module, you also had the videos that you had done too. So, because I think that when you're going through it live in the moment, it can be very overwhelming, especially if it's something that you're worried about or it's new to you. So being able to talk live with you and then being able to go back and rereading and seeing the video, which just reiterated what you were saying there, was extremely helpful to me from that format. And then when we did the individual coaching calls, I felt we could really then focus specifically on our family situation, you know, because, you know, it's one thing to ask general questions in a group, but to ask very specific things, you know, you don't want to take up everybody's time. As we said, every person is different. Every situation right. So I think having those three, the way you set up your course with those three different, I don't want to say levels, but three different compartments, I found to be really helpful. And then once we did the SSI application online, I was like, that was it. This was so easy. So, you know, it was one of those things that, you know, you and your course helped kind of give me the confidence to do it, because I had just heard so many things about it's so overwhelming. And if you miss one thing, you know, then it sets you all back. And so it was really nice to have someone talk about it and walk through and demystify it, basically, is what you did. And I felt that that was good for, you know, in all of yours. And I would say the other key thing is the circle of care, how you really strongly advocated that, you know, a lot of it does fall on the parents, sometimes predominantly the mother, and that you really do need to have a circle of care that is outside of you. Because while we think we can do it all, and while society may feel that we should do it all, we can't do it all, you know? And I feel that, you know, you talking about having that letter of intent, finding those people and who those people could be. It can be neighbors, it can be friends, it can be people in your community that you've built relationships with, including, you know, professionals and former teachers. So I felt that that really helped us moving forward, now that we're, you know, moving into the whole self-directed programming, that because of your course last year, I was able to really sit down and put together who do I think should be in it, and then said to Liam, well, who do you think should be in your circle of care too? Because they need to jive with you. And luckily, both of us, you know, our visions, you know, of people pretty much
matched up.
But I think that that's really set us up for success now that we're moving forward into this self-direction program, because we already have our first circle of care in place. And we also know that it's going to change over the years because people are going to move. Liam's needs are going to change. Hopefully he will meet more people in the community. So I would say, you know, the circle of care module that you did was so.
It made me feel so good.
Yeah. So that was great.
And you are such a good example of how to do that. And that's one of the reasons I really wanted to talk to you today, because we did our individual coaching after the group coaching, and to watch you go through the steps of pulling those people into your life, or even just start thinking about it and talking to Liam about it and thinking about, okay, so Liam loves kids and Liam loves sports and Liam loves Legos. So how are we going to put all these things together? And how might Liam, you know, maybe, you know, work in the local school or work at the Y or work with Special Olympics, or, you know, how are we going to do all these things? And it's just kind of thinking through the ideas, and maybe, you know, some of the ideas aren't going to work out, but And you really started doing it. You were bringing those people into your life, into Liam's life, in a different way than they were before. And it was really so good. It was such a beautiful thing. And I just love it. It's such a shining example. And I really, like, I want to write a case study about this. And I want you to come onto all my circles. We're moving everybody. If you haven't heard yet, you will keep hearing about this. We're moving from our Facebook circle of care over to our Mighty Network circle of care, so that we can have more people and do more you know, and better and bigger things. But as you move into our circle of care there, I want Cheryl to keep coming and talking about all the great things she's doing, because she's such a good example of, you know, how these things can be done. And it's never going to be perfect. And it will change over time, because the people that are in your circle now might not still be there in 3 years.
Right. Right. So, and I think that's, you know, they have that saying, this is a marathon, not a sprint, you know, mm-hmm. And I am a big planner. I like to plan. I like checklists. And, you know, it can be very humbling when you have everything all mapped out and it doesn't work out. But then it's really nice when, you know, like you said, when we were talking about, again, it goes back to that thinking outside of the box, you know, for our kiddos that, you know, might need something different. And, you know, going back, having someone to bounce that information with and ideas off of, you know, is huge. You know, I keep using the word fortunate, but I really feel fortunate in the sense that, you know, I am lucky that I have a group of friends who also have children with disabilities, younger and older. And the people who have kids that are older have just been so generous in terms of sharing information. You know, I know sometimes people don't have that situation where people, like, you know, they have that scarcity mindset where I have to hoard this information or hoard this resource, because yeah. If I tell somebody this, then it's going to be taken away from my kid. But I feel that everyone has such unique situations and can think creatively to try to make it work for their child. Right. So I think, you know, I'm so sorry, my dog's barking.
That's okay. Don't worry. But see, Cheryl, that's your circle of care.
Yeah, that
and
is.
When you lose somebody, or, you know, if you need a new piece filled, you have a circle to go to. And even for Liam's circle, if he's got 10 people in his circle and one person drops out, you've got 9 other people to brainstorm with. That's the beauty of the whole idea.
Exactly. So I think it's not only important for your child or adult to have that sense of community, but definitely for you as a parent to have that, you know. And I think that is also, like you said, helped with that circle of care. You know, I have kept in touch with, you know, starting with my son's preschool teacher, you know, up until now, you know, and keeping those, even though, you know, your kids, you know, move from school to school and building to building, I've really made a point of staying in contact with those teachers and staff that have really made a difference in our lives and his life, because they have been a great resource and continue to be a resource, you know, even, you know, he's 22 now. So,
right.
I think that any time that as a parent, you can find, you need to find your people,
right.
Because it can be very, very lonely and very isolating, which isn't to say even with my people that I still don't have times when I feel that way, you know, because everyone has their own unique situations. And, but I think that having that circle of care for you and your child is so important.
It's true. Well, do you have any sort of lingering words of advice for any families out there that are struggling? Because God knows there are many.
Yeah. So I think some of the things, like, I was kind of thinking back, like, what are the things that I've done that, looking back now, I feel have helped set me up. And I think, you know, definitely thinking about transition earlier rather than later, because mm-hmm. things will not go as planned. You know, we started, you know, really, you know, yes, we did the transition stuff 14 to 18, but it was really the 18 to 22 that we really honed in and focused on it. And, you know, we started looking for adult services last year when he turned 21, and just the state of the state right now, we are now going to be doing self-directed this coming year. But I think had we not really started that really focusing on that, what's life going to look like after 22?
Yeah.
We just started that last year, I would be so behind right now. So I think anything, like, it's never too early to start thinking about transition. You know, definitely, I think, you know, I've done your class, I've done webinars that the ARC of Massachusetts has offered, that other organizations have offered. You know, I think just educating yourself as much as you can, you know, I'll put in a plug for your course, you know, definitely helped. Like I said, it definitely helped just getting all your ducks in a row and lining everything up. Right. I think is really important because it is overwhelming, you know, because you see when they turn 18, I'm supposed to do all of these things. And it's like, wait a second. I think having, you know, either a course or having, again, that circle of care that's going to help walk you through and say, yeah, there might be 20 things to do, but you're going to focus on these two things right now, to really break it down into those bite-sized pieces. And again, if you start at 18, you're not doing it all 12 months before your child ages out. I think, you know, those have been important things, you know, having your people. It's never too early to start transition and finding those, you know, experts out there that know their stuff that can help you through it, because you shouldn't have to go through it alone.
And even if you don't have money to pay people, there are a lot of free or low cost resources out there. I just want to tack on, and Cheryl and so many of our clients and so many of our people that we support have been just experts at finding those resources out there.
Yeah. And I think you know, I feel like since post 2020, a lot of these organizations too have gone on to offering them via Zoom or recorded webinars. Because before that, I had a hard time getting out. You know, I couldn't go out at 7 o'clock at night, you know, to go to a meeting and drive an hour away. You know, we just couldn't do that physically. So I think now that these organizations, you know, they had to move to virtual, and it's nice to see that a lot of them are still doing it, and a lot of them are offering them for free. So anytime you can do that, and plus a lot of times they'll record them. So even if you just sign up and you can't join it live, you might be able to get the recording, so then you can watch it on your own time. I find those are really helpful too. It's finding, yeah, it's finding them and finding the time to do it.
I know. Personally, I've been doing free seminars and free talks for 25 years for the ARCs. I've been doing them, you know, for, you know, just as an attorney, just here, there, and everywhere, offering them at the local library. And it's been so great the last few years being able to do them online, because you can reach more people. I get like 200 people that show up to a webinar now, whereas before you would go to the local ARC or the local library and you might have 25 or 30 people that come. And yeah, I totally get it. It's hard to get out.
Yeah.
So yeah. It's really great. It's great to be able to get this information out to people. So that is such good advice. Start early, get organized, and get the help that you need professionally. And it's out there, you know, and certainly I think the ARCs are fantastic. The independent living centers are fantastic. There is so much support out there if you need it. You just have to lift your head up and ask for help. That's the most important thing.
Yes. Yes. Don't be afraid to ask for help.
Yeah. So Cheryl, thank you so much. It's so great to see you again. And I hope to see you in our circle of care, of course. I hope you'll be able to join us in a couple of weeks when we have our grand opening event. We're going to have that mom's chat that I talked to you about. So hopefully you'll be able to join us. And I want to thank you again so much for supporting all of the things that we've been doing lately. I could not have done it without you. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing your wealth of knowledge to all of us to help make our paths a little bit easier. So thank you.
It's my pleasure. Always do everything in Elizabeth's name. And, you know, she just carries on for all of us. So thank you so much. All right, everybody, have a great day.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I just wanted to take a second to say how much I appreciate you taking the time to listen to these podcasts I'm having a blast doing them, and I hope that you're finding the content to be what you were really hoping. If you are, please take a second to leave a rating and a review. It's so helpful in getting this content out to people who really need to hear it. Thank you so much.